Hello, everybody. This is Spiro Vagilakos from Madison IBC, and today I have with me Mr. Bailey Wee, our technical consultant. Hi, Bailey.
Hi, Spiro. How are you going?
Good, good. Bailey, just a frequently asked question that I'm getting at the moment is people's curiosity of what is actually coming up in the future with what do we see as the next phase in the DAS industry? And I thought I'd maybe get you to give us a quick answer and your thoughts on it.
Yeah, sure, Spiro. Let me get out my crystal ball. It's a tough question, I guess. Let's start with what we currently have. So currently we've got the MCF 2018 standard, which was actually written in 2017 and actually quite a bit before that, just because of the time it takes to do industry consultations and to get the document released. So the current specification only deals with, as you know, 4G, and we've had 5G for a while now, and 5G is gradually making its way into the in-building industry. Eventually the carriers, represented by the MCF, will be updating the MCF document to incorporate technologies, 5G technologies and perhaps even beyond. The short answer is your typical passive DAS, so the current type of distributed antenna systems that we're all building, which is, coaxial cable running into little dome-shaped antennas deployed everywhere in the building, that's still going to be around, and that's still going to be the bread and butter of the in-building world, just because it's a relatively flexible system, given that the carriers can refarm the lower frequencies to use 5G on. It means a lot of the older DASs using pure passive systems can survive in the 5G world and be useful for many, many years to come. So the 5G, your typical passive DASs will still be around for a long time to come. And that probably won't go away for a few more years. So don't think, with 5G coming along that the whole DAS industry or the system will be changing anytime sooner. Your bread and butter will still be your typical DAS system made up of 5G, made up of passive components and little antennas. What is exciting and what is, I guess, been on the cards for quite a few years is, I guess, the newer generation of systems that runs on fiber and to some extent the higher grades of Ethernet cable, but it'll all be fiber. These fiber-based systems, or what we call low-powered active systems, will have a lot more intelligence at the edge. So instead of little, dome antennas, which don't really have any intelligence in them, these new low-powered active systems will replace these little dome-shaped antennas with almost Wi-Fi-like boxes, which have computing units within them, so they have a lot of intelligence in them, and they'll be able to not only obviously deliver 5G and higher throughput and lower latency in via 5G, but they'll also have additional functionalities such as your location-based system, your Bluetooth capabilities, your gigabit Ethernet, internet pass-through, a whole host of exciting features which can be implemented via a more intelligent unit. At the moment, there's really no standard on these type of systems, so that's why not only the carriers have sort of stayed away from them, but also because they're quite a bit more expensive. And as you know, on DAS projects, we're essentially always trying to minimize the cost to the building owner. But these systems are the future. These little active low-powered systems are the future of in-building coverage. It may take a while yet for them to sort of slowly make their way into DAS projects. And that's sort of true of any technology. The initial penetration and uptake is generally relatively slow, and then they may hit, you know, a critical mass point where it becomes more standardized. So at the moment and for the next year or so, I'd still see your normal passive DAS systems as the bread and butter of almost all in-building deployment. But as we move a few years into the future, you'll see these low-powered active systems being used more and more, and they'll have much more functionality, which will help, I guess, offset some of the cost. Because, for example, if one of those little active units can do things like asset tracking, now that's a benefit for the building owner, which he can use to do other things, which helps him manage his building. So there are pros and cons on these newer systems, of course. You know, the cons being the cost, but the pros being all the additional features that it can do. And I'm sure, you know, as we sort of move on into the future, these systems will become more standardized as opposed to the current situation, which is quite messy. And also, I think the other big trend in the industry is currently one of the weaknesses of your typical DAS system is the amount of space that's required in the carrier DAS room. You know, whenever a carrier plugs into a DAS, they need to deploy racks and racks of base station equipment and transmission equipment and battery backup. So typically, I think if you look at the MCF 2018 specification, it says you need a minimum or a recommendation of 4 racks per carrier. So with 3 carriers being Telstra, Optus and TPG/Vodafone, you're looking at 12 racks of equipment, and that doesn't include any active equipment if it's an active system. So that's quite a bit of space, and I guess that's why the MCF specifies that the building needs to assign a room that's a minimum, I think, of 32 square meters or so, just for the carrier DAS room. And that's quite a big cost to the building owner, just because, you know, every square meter of space is money lost if you're assigning that to a carrier who's essentially using the room and not paying any rent. So one of the shift in the industry is towards more virtualized systems, and by that I mean all the core functionality is done elsewhere, and you only have essentially remote units at the building driving the whole system. So instead of having a dedicated DAS room that's populated by racks and racks of carrier equipment, you may only have a few small boxes on a wall somewhere driving this DAS. And that will save the building owner not only equipment space, but also other requirements such as power and cooling as well. So that's, I guess, that's a positive trend, and that's sort of coming up in the next few years as the network moves towards a more sort of distributed, virtualized model of how to run things. And there are, I guess, if you look even more into the future, there are more software-based capabilities that will run on top of these active systems. Just, you know, as an example, Huawei has a product called the LandSight, and it's got this functionality where if you run what they call a service anchor, a third-party developer, so a third-party software developer, can run its own apps over the LandSight and use all of the LandSight's location functionality. So it opens up the IBC, the DAS, to a whole array of third-party functions, which you know, we may, we in the DAS industry may have never thought of before. So that's quite an innovation. And I'm sure other vendors will have similar features as well. So the whole, software-driven, IT-driven, capability will be something that's good to look forward to on the DAS. But that is a few years into the future. Spiro, yeah, that's about it.
Yes, it is very an interesting question, I must admit. It fascinates me when I talk to people about this. Okay, Bailey, well, thank you very much for your answer. And I guess you stay safe, and I guess we'll talk about the next question soon.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Spiro. Thank you. Thanks.